Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Jonah chapter 1, because as we read in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, we read that he spoke according to the word Lord, the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gat Hefer, which is very close to Nazareth, a few miles, 3 miles or so, and that is clearly in Galilee. But you see, the Galileans were not considered very important because they were not from the city of Jerusalem, from the Judean mountains and the hills where God set his name there. And therefore, any prophet who came out of Galilee like Jonah was not recognized or looked upon. And that's why they could say, they said to him, "You search and you look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet." But they were wrong, because Jonah the prophet did come from Gat Hefer, which is in Galilee. Next, beloved brothers and sisters, by way of introduction here, where we learn about Jonah. Jonah the prophet prophesies at the time where Jeroboam II was the king of the north, the king of Israel. It's about 824 BC to 783 BC. Some suggest between 800 BC to 700 BC, somewhere there in these 100 years. And when we think about it, this is about 750 years before Yeshua the Messiah came. Like Isaiah, about 750 years before Yeshua the Messiah came. He was prophesying in the north of Israel, in the time of Jeroboam II. And that is also very significant, because apparently whatever he spoke came to pass, because Jeroboam II have done something that God said through Jonah, that it will come to pass. And that is very interesting as well. And so Gat Hefer, he speak about the olive press that had been dug, and that's where Jonah came from, about a few miles away from the city of Nazareth. Now, a couple of things more that I want to mention before I'm going to go to the actual verses about Jonah. The time that he prophesied. When did he prophesy? You know, when Jonah prophesied, he prophesied in a period of time where the northern Israeli tribe were in a state of prosperity. Everything is great. They had many things. They had tremendous outward prosperity. They had many things that they possessed. They were well-to-do at that time. And you know how it is when they were well-to-do and things are going well and very little problems, if you will, and it sounds like, wow, who need God at this time? And God used Jonah to speak to a proud nation in a time of prosperity. That's why the Apostle John said to the church of Laodicea, that is where the Lord spoke in the book of the Revelation at the end of chapter 3. He says, "You are rich. You say that you are rich and you have a need of nothing. And you will see that I will spew you out of my mouth," he said to the church of Laodicea. And Jonah the prophet, had prophesied exactly to these kind of people in the same kind of condition. "I don't need God. I don't need the things of the Lord in my life. I'm fine. I'm well to do. Everything is fine with my family. Things are well. I got my house. I got my car. I got my this. I got my that. And I don't need God in my life." And Jonah was prophesying in a time where the nation was prosperous. And I remember what we read through David in the book of Psalm: "When riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Remember the Lord in a time of need and in a time where your needs are met. We always to remember the Lord." And it was King Solomon that they've said already in his writings: "Remember thy Creator in the day of thy youth." Don't forget God when things are well. Don't forget God, because things are not always going to be well. And God will have to discipline his people who turn away from him. And then another suggestion in concerning the time when Jonah was preaching, he was also preaching not only in a time where Israel was tremendously prosperous, but he was preaching in a time where they had very sad spiritual condition. Look at us today. We have so much physically, but we have so little spiritually. Look at the world, the Christian world today. We've been so blessed with so much material things, but we're so poor when it's come to our spiritual life. We're in poverty when it's come to our spiritual life. And God used Jonah to present his message, which was really not a message in his life, to show in a time such as this. But before the book of Jonah, he was preaching to the nation of Israel in a time of prosperity, but also in a time of poor spiritual condition. We also learn here about Jonah the prophet, that Jonah the prophet spoke in a time where he knew that a judgment was coming. Already Amos, the prophet, already prophesied, and he said, God used Amos, the prophet, to speak about the judgment that is coming upon Israel. And therefore, Jonah knew that the judgment was coming upon the nation of Israel, and he knew even who is going to be judging Israel. The Assyrian is going to come and will judge the nation of Israel because of Israel's disobedience. They will take them captive. And it will be very cruel to the nation of Israel, very aggressive with the nation of Israel. And he knew that. That's the time when Jonah was prophesying to the northern kingdom. Now, the next thing by way of introduction, please bear with me. In the story of Jonah and in the life of Jonah, we learn another thing concerning Jonah as being a type of the nation of Israel, because Israel were called to be a light to the Gentiles. And we will learn that Jonah did not want to go to preach the message to the Gentile world, to the Goyim. Israel, our nation, was called to be Or LaGoyim, light to the nations. But they fail. We fail in that. And later on in the future day, God will use Israel to be Or HaGoyim, a light to the Gentiles. But in Jonah, we see the same thing, beloved brothers and sisters, that he did not, in his first call by God to go to preach to Nineveh, he did not want to go there because of violation of the word of God. And then as we draw on to the end, from the book of Jonah, we learn other things that are very important, that God is the God of all creation. He's in full control. Whatever you'll see as we study that book of Jonah, you'll see that God is ultimately controlling everything that's happening in the life of mankind. He is in full control of everything that's going on in this world. We are not to be surprised and not to be wondering what's going on in the world today, because God is in full control, like we will see it in the book of Jonah, Jonah Hanavi. The next thing we find out in connection with this book is that God is not willing that any should perish. Like we have it in the Brit HaChadasha, the Apostle said this, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. God loves the world. He gave the Messiah, Yeshua, the Son, to this world. He is not willing that any should perish. And by sending Jonah to the people of Nineveh, he wanted to reach out for this city. Though wicked city, he wanted to reach out to this city. And finally, by way of introduction concerning the book of Jonah, is that we learn there that God is always faithful to his servants, to his people. Even though you and I sometimes, and maybe more than sometimes, disobey him, violate his word, God is a God of a second chance. Not a second chance after death, but a second chance in our life as we live here today. When we've gone astray and gone a wrong way, even as believers, he's always ready to restore us, always ready to bring us back to himself, always ready to use us again after shaping us and molding us. He's a God who is willing to restore his people. He's a faithful God to his servants. And that is very encouraging for us as we study here the book of Jonah. And just before I'm going to move to the verses themselves, we read earlier the passage in Matthew chapter 12, and this is very precious. is that many critics of the book of Jonah do not believe that the book of Jonah is really the word of God because they don't believe certain of the miracles that happen in the life of Jonah. And by desiring to swift this, to reject it, and to set it aside, they said there was no such a thing as a man by the name of Jonah. There was no such event that occurred in the life of this man of Jonah. He said, they are fairy tales. They are not real. Well, thank God we have the words of Yeshua the Messiah in Matthew chapter 12, which we have read earlier. And we're going to read that again a little bit later, brothers and sisters, in Matthew. And I want to read these verses in Matthew chapter 12, what Yeshua himself said about the prophet Jonah in Matthew chapter 12. And I'm reading this verse. Yeshua said in verse 39, he answered unto them and he said, an evil and adulterous generation that seeking after a sign, there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall arise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Those who are the critics who reject to accept the book of Jonah may say whatever they wish, but we will take the word of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah concerning the prophet Jonah, and we better trust what the Lord Yeshua the Messiah said rather than to take sides with those that reject the message of the prophet Jonah. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus just had to be given in order for us to introduce this book of Jonah. And so please now turn to chapter 1 where we have read, and let's begin by dealing with the first few verses. And look how the book began. We don't read about the history of who Jonah is, nothing about his parents, his background, nothing here. We only read that in verses 1 and 2, the first commission of God to Jonah in verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. Here is the first commission of the Lord to his servant Jonah. And God is just simply telling Jonah, he says, listen, Jonah, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness has come before me. Now, very interesting, because here in this whole book, we don't read about Jonah preaching to Israel and saying to them, listen, one day is going to happen now. Repent from your evil ways and turn to the Lord and follow the Lord. In the future, the Messiah will come. We don't read in this book of Jonah ever speaking to his own nation. Or would we find out that he was called by God to go outside of the nation to the neighboring nation? And so the Lord spoke to Jonah, again, as I remember it, his name is Jonah, the son of Amittai, the son of truth. And he's saying to him, arise and go to that great city. Now in verse 2, there are a few things that we learn. There are a few things that are mentioned here in verse 2 that we want to point out. First of all, Jonah at this time was called to go to a city of Nineveh, and it was a city that belonged to the Gentile nation. It was not part of our own nation, Israel. It says here, it was a great city. The word great city speaks about it was a large city. If you just turn to chapter 3 for a moment in the book of Jonah in verse 3, we find out that he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. In other words, if you're going to cross that city or get into the center of that city, it was a long journey of 3 days. It was such a huge city, the city of Nineveh. And some suggest that it was a link between three cities. That's why we have this expression, 3 days long to reach to the center or to cross over to the other side of that city. That's what we find out in that verse. And by the way, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And it was a huge city. In fact, the Bible suggests that Nineveh had wall that was about 40 or 50 feet high surrounding that city. And that it was around 8 miles right around the city itself. Now, can you imagine in those days to have such a large city as the city of Nineveh? Some suggest and some said that the city wall had 15 main gates in the city of Nineveh. Each gate had a stone statues of bulls, and inside and outside of the wall was a beautiful garden and a zoo. It was a very huge city, beautiful city, tremendous high walls, 15 gates. It was a secured city, you would say. The next thing we find out in verse 2 is that God said to Jonah, not only you go to that great city, he said to him in verse 2 that they to cry against the city of Nineveh. Again, I'm pointing out to verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Secondly, cry against it. The Hebrew word, kra'aleya, call upon it. The word is really suggest a coming judgment. Cry against it. Well, why is it to cry against it? Well, the next statement says why. Look what it says in verse 2, see now, for their wickedness has come up before me. Their wickedness have risen up before God. Apparently, the kind of life that was lived in that city of Nineveh was wickedness and sin, idolatry, all kind of immoralities that have existed there. And there was all kind of drunkenness, everything that was going on in the city of Nineveh, all these wickedness rose up before God. And God saw it. Do you think God does not see what's going on today in the world in which we live in? He sees everything. He sees what's going on in the world, in cities, in countries, in various areas. He sees everything. And notice he's saying to Jonah, it rose up. It came up before me. He sees everything. And he sent his servant to go to cry against the city of Nineveh. That expression, arose up, I think is good for us to see that it's not only that wickedness rises up before God, but also the prayers of the saints. Now, if you turn to James in the New Testament for a moment, in chapter 5 of the book of James, the book of Yaakov, in the Brit Hadasha, we read those verses as well, where people are being oppressed and they cry from heaviness of heart that rises up before God. Look what it says in verse 4 of James 5. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have ripped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, they crying. And the cries of them which have ripped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Tsevaot. In other words, God hears the cry of man who suffers here in this world, and he hears it, and it rises up towards him. But also the wickedness of man rises up towards God. He can see it, and he's going to judge it. On the other hand, those that cry for help from the Lord, he's going to assist them. He's going to bring them an answer. The cry of them, rise up before me, come up before me. So apparently, God is want to send Jonah, his servant, to go to that city of Nineveh in order to cry and to warn them because judgment is coming. And that is what the message of the prophet is to speak to the nations of the world, to speak to the world and cause them to repent and turn to God. So what does Jonah do now? That's interesting, because in the next verse, we find the servant's disobedience. Jonah made a choice, and the choice was disobedience. And this is what we learn in verse 3. But, you notice that word, but? But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Yafo, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, This is something that is amazing. Here is a servant, a saved, we can say it in a New Testament language. He was a believer, a saved servant of God. And he's making a choice, conscientious choice. God told me to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. God told me to go to Nineveh, which is in the east. I'm going to go to another place called Tarshish, which is in the west. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. That tells us what a child of God can do, what a servant can do. Instead of obeying the word of God and following what God is asking him or her to do, he makes a conscientious choice and he goes in a wrong direction. Now, these verses are very interesting because it says that Jonah rose up. You would think he would rose up to follow what the Lord gave him, the instruction, like Abraham. You remember when God said to Abraham, you take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice for me. And it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And he went as an obedient servant. But what does Jonah do? Exactly the opposite. He rise up, yes. But instead of going to Nineveh, to this wicked city, he flee, or he thinks that he flee, unto a place that is called Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. That word Tarshish is actually a port on the coast of Spain. And he actually went west instead of east. And so he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But remember, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, that no one can ever flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, there is the presence of the Lord, God of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, in the Shekinah glory, found in the temple in the city of Jerusalem, where God's manifest presence is there. But there is also the presence of the Lord that is everywhere. God is not limited to one location because God is everywhere. Turn to the book of Psalms for a moment. Psalm 139 and verse 7. David said this of old about the Lord, about the God of Israel. David says in verse 7 of Psalm 139. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I will ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. He continued to say in verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, we can't run from the presence of the Lord. We cannot hide from the presence of the Lord. You see, we may think that God does not see. We may think that God does not know, but he knows everything. David said of old, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He knows everything. But Jonah, he fled, went westward instead of eastward, in disobedience as a servant of Jehovah, the servant of the Lord, in disobedience, he flee into a place that is called Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He might fled from the immediate presence of the Lord in the land of Israel, but he never could flee from the presence of God who knows everything and is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful, omnipotent. He's everywhere and have all power. And he's omniscience. He knows everything. No one can flee from him. But Jonah, he rose up. He went unto Tarshish westward from the presence of the Lord. Now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, very interesting verse here in verse 3. The word down is mentioned twice. In fact, if you go on to verse 5, it's mentioned a third time, the words down. Every time we go away from God, it is always a downward course. When we go up to the city of Jerusalem, where God's name is said, this is always up. This is upward, spiritually going upward. But when we turn away from God and we go away from Him, we end up always downward course. We can never enjoy the blessings of God when we turn away from here. And Jonah, look, we find out that he rose up, fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down unto Jaffa. And he found ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go out unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He is going downward course, away from God, away from his God who called him for this service. Now look what happened. He's going down to Jaffa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. It just happened that he found a ship. Now, you might think it's a coincidence, but it seems to be that the Lord is in full control. And not only this, beloved brothers and sisters, Satan is always there to assist us to go away from the Lord. He always makes things just right so you can go get further and further from God. It seems to be that he sets situation in our life that will help us to go astray from God. We can see the work of the enemy at the same time here. Because look what it says. He went down to Jaffa and he just found a ship. Listen, you go even today with all the hustle and bustle that's going on in the ports. You just don't find ships just like this that are ready to take you someplace far away. Look at the second thing you find here in verse 2. It says, and he paid the fare thereof. Now, funny that he had now the means to pay for the fare. And someone even suggested that could it be possible that there would be no room at the ship? And perhaps somebody came to him and he came and he was standing there to buy the tickets.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.